Amen, amen. You enjoy the good choir singing this morning. I appreciate the good choir singing, appreciate those songs. And what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. We walk by faith now, but one day I'm glad we'll get to see the glorified Son of God, our Savior, the one who gave himself upon the cross of Calvary. You and I can know him this morning in a free pardon of sin and have the promise of heaven one day after a while. And I believe we'll enjoy the journey, amen. I tell you, God's been so good to us, and I thank him this morning again for all of his blessings. And I appreciate you coming and being a part of the worship service here at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church today. And I would say just worship him. Let him speak to your heart. And as you, if you're visiting with us today, again, we're glad to have each of you. And just to let you know, if God's speaking to your heart, there's something you need to pray about, something God spoke to your heart about, this altar is always open. You come and pray. Somebody to come pray with you and help you. Most of all, the Lord will help you. And that's who we need help from this morning. I'm glad he is still on the throne. And friend, I don't know what you might have come in with this morning, what need that you might have. But I'm glad that he's able to meet that need if you'll just give it to him this morning. And especially if you're not saved this morning, it's God's will. And not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I pray God will just allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and our lives here this morning. And let God do what he wants to do in our hearts and our lives. First Sunday service of 2018. Take me a while to get used to that. By the time I get used to that, the Lord wills, it'll be 2019, I guess. But anyway, we're so glad to be here on this first Sunday morning of this new year. And I want you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Philippians. Once again this morning, the book of Philippians and chapter number 3. For those that were in the service last Sunday, of course, closing out 1 year to look into the new year on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We preached from these verses of Scripture and felt led of God to come back again this morning and then maybe finish up some thoughts that God had placed upon our heart. And I pray they'll again be an encouragement and a help and a challenge to each and every one of us here this morning, because as we think about closing out 1 year and starting a new year, of course, new beginnings and all of those things, and certainly resolutions and goals and all those kinds of things. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that, certainly considering the physical life. But I also pray that we take into consideration our spiritual lives and the importance of the spiritual man. And so with that being said, out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. All right, if you're able to stand this morning, I want to invite you to stand out of the reading of the precious Word of God this morning, if you're able. And certainly if you're not able to stand, then certainly we also understand that. We want to start reading in verse number 10, read down through verse number 14. And verses 13 and 14 will be our text verse, but basically probably more so verse 14 this morning, because we looked at a couple of different thoughts, and we'll remind you of those thoughts here in just a few moments. But again, thinking about the thought being a vision for the new year. A vision, if you will, for the new year. Now notice Paul here as he's writing to the church at Philippi, starting in verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul said, I want to get a hold of him like he got a hold of me. And boy, I tell you what a thought that is. Then notice in verse number 13, brethren. Now notice again, Paul, here the great apostle Paul, as he writes these verses to this church, and certainly not only to this church at Philippi, but to you and I this morning. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I've not arrived. There's some more things out there that I want to attain. There's some more things that I want to be able to do. He says, I have not count myself to apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. In verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray, Father. We bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity, to thank you for health and strength and the opportunity and the privilege to be able to come back to your house on this Lord's Day and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the prayers that's been offered. We thank you for the beautiful singing. Lord, we thank you this morning for the moving of the Spirit of God. And Lord, again, for the teaching of the Word of God this morning. But Lord, now we've come to the time that, Lord, that when you have appointed us to stand, Father, in this place this morning. And so I pray, God, this morning that you would anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. I pray that you'd anoint me with fresh oil, that God, what I say from this pulpit this morning will go out into the ears and the hearts of each and every one that is here this morning. I pray that you would help us to evaluate our own hearts and our own lives here today. And Lord, if there's anything, Lord, in our life that, Lord, needs to be corrected, anything that we need to bring to you this morning, that, God, that we'd be willing to do that. We'd be willing to submit ourselves, Father, to you and to your word this morning and to your way. And, Lord, again, for this time of worship, Father, I thank you for it. But now again, Lord, I pray that you'd anoint, God, the preaching of your word this morning, and anoint your servant. Father, one more time, I cannot stand in this place, Father, without your touch and without your help. So I pray, again, as the word of God goes out, that ears and hearts will be open and receptive to that which you have for us this morning, especially to that one that could be here today. And Father, they've never put their faith and their trust in you, never anchored their soul in the Son of God this morning, the Lord Jesus. I pray, God, you deal with their hearts. I pray the spirit of conviction would fall upon their hearts. And Lord, this very day, Lord, to give their heart and their life to you. Lord, those that might be cold, indifferent, those that might have come in, Lord, with a great burden this morning, Lord, I don't know. Father, I just pray you'd work among us. Help us now to be obedient to you and to your word. And Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do, even in this service this morning, in our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments again, I want to continue the thought, as I said, that we started last Sunday morning, continued last Sunday night, and want to look at once again this morning with the help of Almighty God. A vision for the new year, as we continue to consider the thought for this vision for the new year. Let us consider that our God has something for each and every one of us. I truly believe that this morning God has something for each and every one of us for this coming year, not only this coming year, but even for this day, if we will have the faith to look to Him and follow Him. Let us this morning consider the instructions that Paul is giving here and keep reaching forth to those things which are before us and not getting bogged down by those things which are behind. And we addressed some of those things last week. Awful easy sometimes if we're not careful to get bogged down in those things which are behind. And we talked about some of those last week. And one of the things that we said is we can't do anything about the past. Certainly it's in the past. You can't do anything about that. We can learn from it, but we can't change it. And so Paul here is making this statement here to the church at Philippi, that he's forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. And so I believe that ought to be our vision this morning for ourselves individually and for the church collectively, that we would reach forth for all that God has for us. He stays His coming in the year 2018. And so this morning I pray that we would have a vision for the new year. The two things that we dealt with last week, first of all, we dealt with on Sunday morning that we need to, if we're going to have this vision, if we're going to reach forth to what God has for us, then first of all, we must realize that there is potential. And we find that, of course, as Paul said, that he had not, he count not it myself to have apprehended. In other words, Paul realized, even though he was a man that had been used of God, a man, I believe that was close in his relationship to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he realized that there was even greater potential in his own life and in that church there at Philippi. I believe this morning each of us ought to realize that there's potential out there yet. Certainly before us, there's potential within us that we have not yet reached yet that we need to keep reaching forth for. And so first of all, we must understand, I believe from these verses, that there is potential. And there is this morning. And thank God for that. Why? Because God is still on the throne. And boy, I'm glad that He is. Hallelujah, friend. I don't know what you might be going through this morning. I don't know what you might be dealing with. I don't know what you might have dealt with in the past. But could I say He is still on the throne. And God is still able. God's still alive this morning. God's still well. And God's still willing to bless His people and help His people if we will look to Him. So again, we must realize there is potential. Secondly, we talked on a Sunday night to reflect on the right priorities. We take that from verse 13 as well. Forgetting those things which are behind. That word forgetting, as it's used in the text, it means to lose out of the mind. In other words, get it out of your mind. Because again, this morning, isn't it amazing how the old devil attacks our minds this morning? He'll make us think all kinds of things, even though we know from the scriptures this morning and for what God's already done for us, that God's well able this morning to help you and I. He's well able to use us this morning. Friend, He's well able to save you this morning if you do not know Him. He's well able to use your life this evening or this morning if you will submit and yield yourself to Him. God, He is still able this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that He is. And so this morning, we ought to realize that there's potential. We ought to reflect on the right priorities. Keep our priorities in line. I'm telling you, things are all messed up with so many people this morning. Their priorities are all out of line. Let us have the right priorities. And then this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on this vision for the new year, that we ought to reach for the prize that is before us. To reach for the prize that is before us. Now I understand this morning as Paul's writing and as we study these scriptures that of course the ultimate prize is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that's going to take place one day. But there is a journey between salvation and getting to heaven. And I want to enjoy the trip. I want to be productive in that trip. And I pray that you would want to be that way this morning as well. And so today we ought to reach for the prize that is before us. That word reaching, as it's used here in the latter part of verse number 13, it means to stretch forward upon. If you'll notice, it is a continual action. It's something that we must continually keep striving for and working for. Listen to me this morning and reaching for. Now, salvation's a free gift, and thank God for that. But we ought to want to do something if we are saved. I'm concerned about people today that say they're saved, but yet they seem to have no desire for spiritual growth. They have very little desire for the things of God, to be faithful to God, to be used of God, to win anybody else to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a little bit concerned about that because God didn't save us just to sit back on a pew somewhere, hallelujah, and do nothing. God's been too good to us. God's done too much for us. Friend, if He saved you and redeemed you today, you ought to shout glory this morning. You ought to shout hallelujah. You say, preacher, that's not appropriate from where I come from. Well, friend, where you're going, if you're going to heaven this morning, it'll be appropriate there. Thank God I read my Bible. Bible, where they talk about shouting and praising God, hallelujah, and lifting up their voices, saying, worthy is the Lamb of God. God, worthy, worthy, worthy this morning is the Lamb of Almighty God. And so today, my friend, we ought to get to the place that we want to reach for the prize that is before us. God, I want everything that You've got for me. I want everything that You have for my family. I want everything that You have for our church. God, I want to see You do something. God, I want to see You work. God, I want You to take me and make me and mold me and shape me into everything that You want me to be this morning. Most people have enough religion this morning just to make them miserable. Hey, man. But I'm glad a relationship doesn't make you miserable. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the relationship I have with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful this morning from the place that He's brought me from to the place that He has me now. Hallelujah. Why don't you just think on that for just a moment this morning? From where God brought you from to where you are right now. If I didn't say another thing, it ought to draw your attention. That ought to draw your attention. Just to think about where He brought you from to where you are right now. Think about that. Now, I don't know how far God had to reach down for you. Boy, I'll tell you what, He had to reach a long way down for me. You say, preacher, you ever murdered anybody? No, I never murdered anybody. But boy, I'll tell you what, I was a sinner. Hallelujah, in need of a Savior. Hallelujah, I'd sinned and transgressed against Almighty God. And He let me know it. I'm glad on that Sunday morning, thank God, I'm glad He reached down to where I was at and pulled me out of the mess I was in and set my feet on a solid rock. And from that point to this point this morning, He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. Thank God He's brought me a long way, and I've got a long way to go. I'm telling you, thank God this morning. I just want to thank Him. I want to praise Him. I want to lift up His name this morning. I want to yield myself to Him and say, God, what You've done in me, continue to work. And God, work through me, because I want to make a difference in somebody else's life this morning. Just to thank Him from where He brought me from to where He's got me to. Now, I have no idea what God has in store for me tomorrow. I hadn't got there yet. I don't have any idea what God has in store for you. But I'll guarantee you it's good. I'll guarantee you it's right. I'll guarantee you this morning it will be productive if we'll yield ourselves to Him. Now again, this is one of the prison epistles. Paul's writing, being imprisoned. Some seem to think it was getting down toward the end of his life. And Paul said, I've not got there yet. I've not got there yet. But I'm going to forget those things which are behind. And he said, I'm reaching forth to those things which are before. Paul saying, God's got some more in store. Yes. Now you think about that. Where God's brought you from, to where He has you right now, to where He wants to take you to. Think about that. God wants to take you somewhere. Well, preacher, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank God, we ought to praise Him for that. But God wants to do something for us and in us and through us before we get there. And I believe that's where the problem is this morning. So many people's lives, they quit reaching for what God has for them. I want to give you some things today I pray will help us. I'm probably not going to be able to deal with them all this morning in the time that I have left, but I want to begin for us to think about this reaching forth, to stretch forward upon, to reach for it, to know Him, to be more like Him, the person of Christ. And again, that ultimate prize is to be with Him. I believe this morning, the difference between people who are successful, as you study, and we talked about that some last week, and I'm not talking about being successful from the world standpoint. Now, there's nothing wrong with being successful. I'm not preaching against that. But this morning, I'm talking about being successful in your relationship, in your walk, in your responsibilities under the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that saved us and redeemed us when none of us deserved it. None of us here this morning deserved it. But yet He wants us to reach forth for some things. But I believe this morning the difference between people who are successful and for those this morning who are not is for those that are successful. For those that are successful, that they just keep reaching forth. Well, preacher, I failed. Anybody? Yeah, I have too. Every one of us in here this morning, if you've ever tried to do anything, you failed. But does that mean we quit? Now, I'm afraid in some people's minds this morning, and again, we realize that there's two forces in work, at work in our lives this morning. There's old Satan that's at work this morning, and there's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that's at work in our lives for those that are saved. And certainly Satan will do everything that he can, as we've already talked about, to get in our minds and to discourage us, especially when we feel like that we have failed. I mean, there's times that I walk out of this pulpit feeling like I failed and made an awful mess in the world. So, friend, what do I do? Do I quit? Or do I just keep on keeping on, keep reaching for what God has for me? Why? Because God's way bigger than I am. Hallelujah this morning. And I'm glad God can still take me. And God can still take... You say, preacher, you don't realize how I've messed up. It don't matter. I'm glad the grace of God that saved you is the grace of God that can forgive you, is the grace of God that can help you, is the grace of God that can continue to use your life here this morning. And use this church. And the difference between people that are successful concerning the things, the physical things, and people looks at successful people. And again, we're not here to say that the world looks at us and say that we're successful or unsuccessful in our Christian lives. That's up to God. He has a different perspective than the world has. But when we think about success, it's always those people that keep trying, that keep reaching forth, that doesn't quit, that doesn't give up. You say, well, preacher, could you give us an example? I'm so glad you're asked. Now, I could take some and draw some from the Scriptures this morning, and I may do that sometime, but I want you to think about a man by the name of Thomas Edison. You say, preacher, I don't know who that is. We ought to study a little history. I meant to go get me a light bulb this morning. I forgot it. Light bulbs now come in all shapes and sizes, do they not? Does anybody in here this morning appreciate a light bulb? Brother Roddy, he says his ministry here is light bulb ministry. Just part of one of the many things he helps us with here. But a light bulb's kind of an amazing thing, isn't it? Now, you and I don't think about it much. Now, Jesus has called us. Well, it's amazing how God just works things out, isn't it? Man. These little children get up and sing about this little light of mine. Well, now, what's Jesus called us to be this morning? He's called us to be a light, hasn't he? Yes. Amen. He's called you and I to be light for those that are saved. I look in these chandeliers this morning, I see all kinds of light bulbs. I look here above my head, I see all kinds of light bulbs. All over this building, all in your house. Light bulbs everywhere. We ought to thank God for light bulbs. Well, do you realize this morning that the invention of a light bulb for Thomas Edison wasn't easy? To what I could find about Thomas Edison and the invention of the light bulb, he failed at least 1,000 times before he invented the light bulb. Before he got it to work. 1,000 times, brother. I'd have probably given up long before that. See, that's our problem this morning. Every little old thing, every little old situation, just because that we have failed doesn't mean that we give up. Now, some people say that he even failed at more times than that. Let's just use the 1,000 times that he failed to get that light bulb to work like it needed to work. I'm glad he's still working on me. Amen? But 1,000 times, a reporter asked Thomas Edison, He asked him, Mr. Edison, how did you keep on working? How did you, after failing 1,000 times, keep on till you got that light bulb? Not only the light bulb, but we are blessed with a lot of inventions that that he made, that he came up with. But just to think about the light bulb. So if he, after 1,000 times, had not made that light bulb, if he'd quit on the 1,000th time, today we still might be by candlelight. Why, preacher, somebody else would have figured it out and all this, and I understand that, but it wasn't up to them. It was up to him. He's the one that had a desire. He's the one that had the passion. I'm going to make a light bulb. Now, God's not asking you and I to make light bulbs this morning, but again, he's asking us to be light. And praise God, if we're going to be light and salt to this world, I believe this morning we're going to have to keep reaching forth. Why? Because there's more work. I'm glad this morning as the children sang, and I've said it many times, I'm glad that he's still working on me. The reporter asked Thomas Edison about failing 1,000 times before completing and figuring out and making and inventing the light bulb. He said he didn't feel like that it was 100 failures or 1,000 failures, but 1,000 attempts. The reason we can't do anything great for God this morning is simply because we're not attempting anything great for God. 2017's in the past. Paul said, forget about those things. Get your priorities lined up and reach forth to what God has for you today. God has something for us this morning if we'll reach forth for it. 1,000 times. He attempted to make that light bulb. And let's just say for conversation's sake this morning, if he'd quit. But that 1,001st time, you and I are blessed this morning because he completed what he started. Amen. Woo! Boy, there's a thought right there this morning. He completed what he started. He didn't quit. He kept reaching forth and reaching forth and reaching forth. And any successful people that you run upon this morning and come in contact with, listen, I know we have the saying, the overnight success, but friend, there's very little of overnight success. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's as far as the Christian life's concerned, it's going to take praying. It's going to take being faithful. I'm telling you, I'm glad for a God this morning that does not quit on you and me today. Hallelujah. We ought not to quit on him. I found a couple of quotes about success this morning. We need to keep reaching forth. We need to keep reaching forth to what God has before us this morning. I thought I'd written those things down. But I'll run up on them in a minute, I'm sure. Oh, yes, here they are. I'll give them to you in just a second. But I want to give us a couple of things this morning on ways to keep reaching forth. First of all, in envisioning or having the vision for the new year and keep reaching forth and reaching for the prize that God has before us today is number one. All that was just introduction. Ways to keep reaching forth this morning. Number one is we need to beware of complacency. Now, these are not new things. We need to beware of complacency. The word complacency this morning has the idea or the definition of being self-satisfied. And I'm going to be honest with you today. I'm afraid in our Baptist churches, now I pray not here this morning, but I'm afraid even any of us are susceptible to it, and all of us have probably been guilty of it, is we grow comfortable. Everything's all right with me. I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I come to church. I even tithe. Oh, praise God. And we just grow comfortable. Well, I read about some folks in the Word of God that Their life wasn't too comfortable. But they just kept going for God. Here Paul's writing from prison. Now their prisons wasn't like our prisons are. Our prisons are like hotels and motels compared to their prisons. But he was in prison. He could have sat back in that prison cell and said, well, evidently God's done with me. Ain't nothing I can do from here. This is not the only prison epistle, by the way. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what phase you might be in your life this morning. But God can and will still use your life. He's from writing from prison. He writes this wonderful epistle to the church at Philippi. One thing about the Apostle Paul's life, he definitely hadn't grown complacent. If we ever expect our church to grow, if we ever expect to grow ourselves, if we ever expect those around us to grow spiritually, then we're going to have to get past this thing of self-complacency. I'm afraid too many people are there today. Self-satisfied. Well, preacher, things is going pretty good and everything's kind of going all right in my life and my family. But friend, that can change in the snap of your finger. The snap of your finger, life can be turned upside down. What are you going to do then? You better have something bigger than yourself. You'll need more than your self-satisfaction to get you through. This morning, how we can reach forth, we need to beware of complacency, being self-satisfied. We need to reach forth for more. I want to ask us two questions here this morning in thinking about complacency. I pray the Spirit of God would speak to each of us here as we start this first Sunday of 2018. Are you and I as close in our relationship to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as we need to be? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, shake your head. It ain't nothing to me. But as you look into the depths of your soul and ask the Spirit of God to look within the depths of your soul this morning, are you really as close in your relationship to Him as you need to be or should be? I have to ask myself the same question because He's already asked me. So I thought I'd ask you. Seems fair, doesn't it? He didn't want any more out of me than He wants out of you. Are we as close in our relationship to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as we need to be? Because again, life can change. When life changes like that, we're going to be looking for somewhere for some help. Amen. Question number two. Have we grown complacent in our relationship? Are we continuing to grow spiritually? Are we continuing to grow in our relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have we grown complacent? Secondly, this morning, in the complacency thing, are we carrying out our responsibilities? Boy, it's awful quiet in here. Not only are we, as far as our relationship is concerned this morning, are we as close in our relationship, but are we carrying out our responsibilities? Again, now we're saved. This morning, if you're saved by faith. Can't add nothing to that. Can't take anything away from it. Thank God for that. But after we are saved, it brings about some responsibilities. See, people today won't they want blessings without burdens. Huh? They want to claim heaven without feeling like there's any responsibility to help anybody else get there. Preacher, there's nothing for me to do. There's plenty for all of us to do. Praise God, we ought to break forth from these doors today, going out and just being what God's called us to be, being Christians, being Christ-like, being little Christ. Some people seem to have a pretty hard time with that. Now, I realize we all struggle with different things. I understand that this morning. But are we really reaching forth to the things that are before us and forgetting those things which are behind? If we're not careful, we have a tendency to grow complacent. So is our relationship as close as it needs to be or should be? And am I fulfilling the responsibilities that God's given me? Husbands, God's given you a responsibility. Well, I could preach here a long time. Hallelujah! Men, He's given you some responsibilities. Ladies, He's given you some responsibilities. Young people, He's given you some responsibilities. But if we're not careful, we grow complacent. Here's our thinking, well, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will take care of it. What about you? What about you? What about me? A vision for the new year. We need to keep reaching forth to that prize that is before us. We need to beware of complacency. Secondly, this morning, we need to beware of being comfortable. It's kind of the same thing in a sense, but because complacency brings about a sense of being comfortable, maybe it's not even really there. We're just comfortable. Jesus talks about a church age in which they were neither hot nor cold, but they were lukewarm. Talking about the church of the Laodicean church age. And He said, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I don't want to be lukewarm. I believe there's more hope for folks that's just drawn bliss plumb cold than people that's just lukewarm. Because in their own mind, in their own thinking, somehow or another, they think everything's all right. Hey, man, I'm still preaching. Don't die on me now. See, we can't reach forth and move forward if we've grown to a place of just being complacent and comfortable. We're saying to the Lord this morning, we're saying to our Savior, God, I don't need any more. God, I've got this thing under pretty good control. I don't need anything else. Friend, we need Him this morning. We need Him. We need Him. We need Him today. We can't even go forth from these doors and live for God on our own. If we're ever going to be an influence to anyone else. Let me give you some things, not only about complacency, but about being comfortable. This morning, every one of us that are really saved by the grace of God ought to desire all that God has for us. And I believe the way we're going to have to do that is we're going to have to get out of the comfort zone. Let me give you a couple of quotes here. They didn't give the names of who quoted this, but this is just a couple of quotes I want you to think about. One individual said, do one thing every day that scares you. For some people, that wouldn't be much. Think about that. Do something Do one thing every day that scares you. That'll get you out of your comfort zone real quick, won't it? For some, that might be just picking up a phone call and inviting somebody to church. Sometimes that's hard. It might be witnessing to that family member. It might be witnessing to that person that you work with. Do one thing every day that scares you. And then the second quote to help us get out of this, of just being comfortable. All progress takes place outside the comfort zone. Think about that. All progress takes place outside of the comfort zone. Your and my greatest growth in our Christian life will a lot of times be down in the valley, not up on the mountain. Sometimes God has to pull us out of. And when God's doing things we don't understand why, and man, we're comfortable here, we're complacent right here, and everything's, but God wants something else. And God wants to pull you out of that. And you be willing to walk out of that comfort zone so God can do His work in our lives. This thought of reaching forth is, again, stretching out. But a lot of us just want to stay in our little comfort zone. Lord, I like it right here pretty good. Ain't having to fight too many battles right here. Because you get out of that comfort zone, I can promise you the battle's going to come. The opposition's going to come. The obstacles are going to come. But see, there's a prize to attain. And I realize that ultimate prize is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you're going to get there. Hallelujah! But it's from that point of salvation till He gets you home. What you and I do with it is most important. Lord, help us this morning that we not grow complacent, that we not grow just comfortable. And I also understand this morning that the Bible talks about being content, but there's a fine line between contentment and being comfortable. Contentment this morning, as you find used in the Scriptures, most of the time is talking about, certainly Paul said he was content with whatever state that he was in, whether he had a little or had a lot. A lot has, with contentment, as the Bible teaches us, has a lot to do with the physical things that we have. And God's been good to all of us. But being comfortable when God wants to do so much more should not be a place we want to be this morning. I'm going to give you this verse of Scripture and I'm done. I know somebody will say amen right there. I don't have time to deal with it much this morning, but in the book of Amos, chapter number 6 and verse number 1, the first part of that verse says, "Woe to them that are in ease in Zion." And if you'll go and continue to study that chapter, you'll find that God was not pleased because they were at ease in Zion. They laid back on their ivory couches. I'm afraid this morning, if we're not careful, God's blessed us so much to the point that we're comfortable right where we're at. When God wants us to look beyond ourselves, our circumstances, and see a world this morning that needs to know Him. He said to Israel, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." That word ease, as it's used in the text there in the book of Amos, it means secure. In a bad sense, it means haughty, and it can mean quiet. This morning, as we think about a vision for the new year for ourselves personally, for our family, for our church, what is it that God can and will do in your life if you'll let Him? And I would say to every one of us here this morning, Lord, help us from getting to that place to where we'd just be comfortable. You know, a lot of people, I'm afraid too many times, just want to come to church and be comfortable. When what we really need is conviction. All of us have areas in our life where I believe if we let allow God to work, that there needs to be work done. I'm saying this morning, Lord, don't help us to help us, Lord, not to get to the place of complacency where we're just self-satisfied. Or help us not to get to the place this morning where we're just comfortable. I don't believe a church that gets to, if a church gets to those two places, if we're not careful this morning, there'll be churches that God won't be working in and through like He could. He wants us to reach forth. Well, preacher, God's been good to us here. Boy, He sure has. Boy, I thank Him for every blessing. But listen, God, I believe, has so much more. But are we willing to reach for it? Thomas Edison failed at least 1,000 times. For that's what they say. He called them attempts. To make something today that most of us don't even give a second thought about. I wonder what God could use you and I to do. He's not calling us to make light bulbs. Thank God that's already been made. But He is calling us to be light. And I just wonder this morning what God could do, what God would do in each of our lives. We'd just be willing to reach for it. All the time we play all kinds of games with the little fellows, we'll get something else and reach for it. You ever done that? I mean, just hold it almost to where they can get it, but they can't quite get it. And to get it, you're going to have to reach for it. Reach for it. That's a very simple illustration, but that's exactly the way it is. God said, here it is. Here it is. And we sit back and go, I don't know. I mean, how could God use you and I? Man, He might could use you as a teacher. And in a way, man's there. Use you as a singer. Use you as a prayer warrior. Boy, we need some of them. Use you to go out and knock on some doors and invite some of these children to church. Simple thing, a light bulb. Boy, I thank God for it. You realize this morning that if we'll fulfill what God's put us here to do, that if time stands and the Lord stays, He's coming, that somewhere down the road somebody's going to look back at it and think, you know, I'm sure glad somebody kept reaching forth. Somebody didn't give up. Somebody didn't quit. They kept reaching forth. Let's stand our feet all over the building this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder this morning, what is it that you need to reach forth for? if it's salvation this morning, I can promise you that the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation can be yours, but you're going to have to ask Him for it. He's already reached out to you. Will you reach out to Him? And then this morning, in your own personal life, if you're saved today, are you... You come to the place of complacency and being comfortable. Are you reaching forth for what God has for you? Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you this morning and ask you to forgive me, my sins and my shortcomings, my faults and my failures. Lord, those times where I've allowed myself to grow complacent and comfortable. And Lord, all the time there was more. And Lord, still today, there's more that you can do in me and through me if I'll just keep reaching. And Lord, there's times that we've all wanted to give up and quit. But Lord, we'll never be successful in your eyes. Never see you do anything in our lives, Lord, if we give up and quit. And boy, I sure know I've been there. There's been times I just wanted to do that. Lord, forgive me of that this morning and help me that, Lord, I would have the vision for myself, my family, for this church, that we might move forward in the days ahead. Lord, you have something for all of us here today if we'll reach out and take it, if we'll reach for it. Lord, if it's salvation that's needed, then, Lord, I know that it's your will to save. So I pray you'd speak to somebody's heart. And then, Lord, those today that maybe just need to come gather around this altar and say, God, I'm going to reach for everything you got for me. Lord, I don't have any idea, but, Lord, I commit the invitation to your hands this morning. You work, you move. You do what I cannot do for myself and what these folks cannot do for themselves. I pray the Spirit of God will work. And I pray that we'll be obedient. It's in Jesus' name. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. So